story goers, and welcome back to another episode of Tales from the Cartridge, the video game storytelling podcast. I'm one of your co-hosts, Eric Penrod.
And I'm your other co-host, Ryan Bauer.
Ryan, I've been really trying to branch out, push past my limits. I've never been able to whistle.
Okay.
My entire life. Never. I convinced myself, even though this is not true, that it was hereditary that you just couldn't whistle. That's not true.
Right.
So I've stopped lying to myself. I've been trying to whistle. Mm-hmm. Here we go. Live for us, not for you, story goers. Here goes. Here's the fruit of my labor. My fiance realized that my teeth were getting in the way of the air coming out.
You do have to move your teeth out of the way. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. I didn't know that. No one tells you these things.
Yeah.
Can you whistle?
I can. Yes.
See, I didn't know this. When you bring up you can't whistle, no one offers that information. They go, "You can't whistle." It's just judgmental. Sure. Rude.
Yeah.
It's like looking at someone. Never mind. I'm not gonna finish that sentence. let me try to whistle. Here we go. Through my labor. I'm not a master by any means. Mm-hmm. All right. So we might just get straight air, and I don't want any judgment to that. All right.
Yep.
All right. Here we go. This is bad. All right. The pressure's on. I can't do it right now. We'll get back to it. I'll come back to you guys next month. We'll see.
Whistle update. Every episode, do a whistle update. Whistle watch 24.
That's my goal for by the end of the year. I'm whistling Dixie. I don't know if that's a bad thing or not. Yeah, I shouldn't use that term. I'm reclaiming it. When I whistle, I will reclaim that. You know, I'll redefine what that means if it's bad, and I'm gonna have to Google that, make sure it's not bad.
Ryan,
how are you? what have you been playing?
I'm doing pretty good. I had a bit of a wild weekend last weekend with my dog not feeling well, but he's doing great now. So like the whole week I was kind of behind on sleep, and I was a bit of a zombie all week, but I'm feeling much better now, and so is he.
Yeah,
good. So now we're doing great. I mean, like, other than like my yard is like fully flooded with water right now because it hasn't stopped raining in like all week, which makes walking the dog hard because he doesn't like wet paws, and that's just a hard combination.
Yeah,
it's true. And I haven't been playing very much because of it. I've really been playing Pacific Drive. I've been playing a bunch of. I haven't played, I think, at all this week, but I was playing it pretty regularly last week and that weekend, which is a very fun like survival horror. I would say more survival horror than not, like very creepy survival game where you're just kind of driving around and you got this cool car and you upgrade it and it gets better and you go to spookier places and see spookier things, and it's been very fun, but it's like a really intense game. Like I have to like take breaks after playing it because it is, there are moments that are just so stressful and intense that I have to like, I mean, there is like really, really good design in that, like when you're back at your garage and you know you're safe and like you can just put the radio on and just kind of goof around fixing up your car and like taking as much time as you want because you're always safe at your garage. It's like this really nice balance of you can like take a deep breath, and sometimes it means you'll like over prepare because you're like anxious to start the next thing, so you spend more time. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's this really cool combination of, well, I guess I could go, but man, what if I just like traded out the door on that car for a little bit? You know what I mean? You just like mess around that for a little bit, which is very fun. And then, like so many other people, I've been playing a bunch of Helldivers 2 with and with our friend Tour Democracy. Yeah, it's just such a wonderful game that's been very, very fun to continue to play. And like, even I feel like we were kind of getting close to like the max level and we've got everything, and then they like introduce some new stuff to chase and to go get, and then the new war bond comes out like this week.
Yeah.
So there's like always, there's a lot of fun stuff going on there that's very exciting, and it's just been a very fun goofy game, kind of like doesn't take itself too seriously, and it's just very fun in the moment to moment, and it's great.
So much fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, nothing terrifies me more than someone saying, "Throwing in an eagle." That's the most terrifying thing you'll hear in the whole game.
Yeah,
because everybody will just be throwing not literal eagles, but eagle airstrikes everywhere, and you are not safe. Mm-hmm. Yes, such a good game, very fun, very fun.
Yeah. So that's all been great. But Eric, how are you, and what have you been playing?
I've been just trying to whistle. what I mean? Like, just one of those weeks just trying to whistle.
I mean, I'm pretty sure the way people learned how to whistle is because, like, back in the day, you just sit in your room bored for 6 hours at a time. You had nothing else to do. So you whistle. Right. You learn to whistle.
You learn to whistle. Yeah. I mean, that's what I need to do. I need to just you know, next time my power goes out, I just sit and I just learn to whistle.
It's a good plan. It's a good plan.
I'm good. Just, you know, doing my thing. Nothing's changed really. Just planning life stuff and doing the usual. I feel like life feels a little mundane right now.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to figure out what to do to change that, but nothing's coming to me yet. So I'm trying to sit in the discomfort of the comfort of the usual.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, okay. For sure.
And as for what I've been playing, of course, Helldivers 2, as you just mentioned. I'm back in the Pokemon Unite. I think I might have mentioned that last time too. Just when I'm bored, because they're like 10-minute matches, and it's fun. I was doing so good, and then I've progressed to level where now I'm just getting destroyed by people. Like, people just who know their stuff are just obliterating me. So, but it's still fun, though. Like, it's still fun to play, except for the people who want to just bail on a mission, bail on a round, like, 3 minutes before the round's over, and they just want to forfeit right away. It's like, that's so not needed, but whatever. That's neither here nor there. Still playing Fortnite, and the new season just dropped, which is wild to watch on Friday when it was supposed to come out. It was down all day. Fortnite was down all day with maintenance stuff. People were just losing their minds online, which is kind of like not funny to watch, but it's very interesting how that has disrupted the lives of so many people in just weird ways, how a video game can do that. It's kind of like... Yeah. Weird and interesting and sad at the same time. Yeah. But I did play around last night of it, and it's very fun. It's very cool. I love the Greek mythology vibe of it. It's very fun. And then, of course, Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, which is like, because of all these other games, because life is kind of hectic at times, and all these other games, Helldivers 2 and Pokemon Unite and Fortnite, are such smaller packages. Like, you can play these all very short amount of time compared to Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, which is going to be like a 40-hour long game plus. I haven't gotten very far in Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. I've only 3 hours, but it's finally clicked. At first, it wasn't clicking, and I was like, ooh, I'm not sure if this is going to be what I want it to be, but now it's like finally starting to move a little bit more, and I've been enjoying it a little more. So far, so good. I'm just terrified it's going to get spoiled for me. That's my biggest thing.
Yeah.
So I really want to get to the polarizing moment Aaron keeps talking about, that I've heard is very mixed, and I want to know why. So we're going to see what happens with that. But yeah, anyway, Storygoers, we hope that you're happy, healthy, and doing well, and that you enjoyed our last episode of Baldur's Gate 2, Part 3. Ryan, thank you so much for all you did on that. I know that was not an easy undertaking.
We had a journey, a technology journey that we went through to get there, unfortunately. There was a lot of, because it was such a huge, it was like 24 gigs, because it was such a huge file, Audacity like was on the verge of crashing pretty much constantly. Like, anytime I would reopen it or close it, it would take like 5 minutes to open or close. So it was just a whole thing. So there was like a lot of, we got there though, and I'm pretty happy with where we were at. And it was just so fun to re-listen to that story again, even though I did listen to it like 2 or 3 times. It was like really fun to re-experience Celeste's telling of that, because it's just so fun and so good. So even though it was a bit of a slog to get through it, it was definitely really fun to have that experience again. That was very fun.
Yeah. And as always too, Celeste is an amazing storyteller.
Yeah.
Like, she's just the best.
Yeah,
so
she's incredible.
Yeah, hopefully you guys enjoyed that episode. I know people were really looking forward to it, so hopefully it gave you the satisfaction you're looking for. And as always, you can email us your thoughts, feelings, and perspectives to talesfromthecartridge@gmail.com or on social media, or you can reach us by texting or calling on our toll-free number of 207-494-4334, and of course on our Spotify answer questions on our polls down below in these episodes, and we will list and read, or we'll read and talk about all of those submissions on future episodes. I will say we've been getting more so than ever lately, which is fantastic. But we kind of have to now pick and choose a little bit on what to discuss on the show, just because people will respond to a lot of questions, which is we want that. But we also can't say all those in one episode. So please forgive us if, you know, we have to kind of go through and pick and choose. Maybe in Patreon or something like that, we can focus more on questions and things like that.
Yeah, we could have like a Patreon episode where we go through every single thing people say. We just don't want to spend 20 minutes of every episode. Look, we really appreciate it, people writing things in and sending messages and calling, but we don't want to spend 20 minutes of every episode going through all of those things, so we'll pick and choose. And then, yeah, maybe we could do like a Patreon, a monthly Patreon, where we go through like every single message, respond to every single person sometime in the future when we can.
That'd be cool. Yeah. So, yeah. So, here we go. Here's some responses. First, we have in our Super Mario 64 bedtime story, we have either C. Kimlin or Kimlin that replied to us and said, best game ever. Although, the introduction to the story is very loud. Sorry about that. It's hard. I mean, we are not sound engineers by any means. And that's not the hardest part of this, is making sure when it's too loud and not too loud. I mean, I don't know about you, Ren, but I'm always like uploading it and testing on my phone to see how loud it is. So,
yeah.
I thought it was okay. For anyone who hasn't listened to it yet, just know that it might be a little loud in the beginning. Sorry about that. But totally agree. Best game ever, potentially. Definitely one of the top games for me, at least. But Mario 64 will always have such a special place in my heart. Especially because, like, that was, like, the first 3D game I think I really ever played.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, man, such a good game. And then just how wild it was going from 2D games to like 3D was such a wild time. Where now I feel like we just take it for granted. Like everything's like, you know, it's like the kind of the expectation. And then when something's 2D or different, it's kind of like a retro style. You know what I mean? Yeah,
for sure. It's been really interesting to start to see like people making retro games using like PS1 graphics. That's been really fun to see a resurgence of. Because again, when I think of retro stylings, I'm thinking like, you know, old pixel art, but now to see like those retro games being made in the style of PS1 games and like Mario 64 games is like really interesting and fun to see, and I'm excited to see how much more of that, how many like designers and creators are able to do really fun things with that.
Yeah, yes, 100%. Yeah, that very well put. Yeah. Also in this Mario 64 episode, our longtime listener and writer, Paul, wrote in and said, yes, it is a great 3D platforming game. 100% agreed. Next one is for our Iron Lung episode, where the question was, wrong answers only. What crime do you think the convict did to be forced to pilot the Iron Lung? And Wolf wrote in and said that he probably killed the king in Mario. I'm imagining they mean Mario 64, when you throw the Ba-Bomb King off and break his butt, essentially, right? Which that'd be so funny if that was the canon they're trying to go for. That this convict has been convicted to sitting in a messed up submarine in a pool of blood because they killed the Ba-Bomb King. But whatever, yeah, still very funny to think about. And then for phone call submissions, we had more phone calls and more texts than ever, as we said. And before we read these, I just want to say, we tried our best to kind of keep up with them, but engagement over phone, whether it's the phone calls or the text, is just really impossible at this point. So if you call us, please don't expect us to answer. We'd be happy if you left a message about your thoughts or feelings or perspectives on one of the episodes we cover or something you want us to cover. Or if you text us and you're looking for us to reply, please just know that we can't do that anymore. It's just really hard to find the time to continue a conversation like that. So just send us your thoughts, feelings, and perspectives, and we'll read those. But if you're looking to like talk to us, we can't do that anymore, so we apologize. But again, our good friend Paul texted us and just reminded us that Little Nightmares 3 is coming out soon in the future, which, yes, I think many people are excited for Little Nightmares 3. We have to cover Little Nightmares 2 still, because covering Little Nightmares 1 was such a big thing for us. We had a lot of engagement from that, so I think Little Nightmares 2 would definitely be on the horizon for us soon. But yes, the excitement for Little Nightmares 3 is definitely high, I think, for many people. Our next text message submission was from Tiffany, and she asked us our thoughts on the Fallout TV show.
Mm.
And I mean, it's not out yet, but we've seen some trailers. Ryan, what did you think of the latest one?
I think like it feels like, at least from that trailer, they really understand the vibe of it. Like that... The story of every Fallout game, or at least most of them, is you're a vault dweller, you have a sheltered life, and you go out into this wild world. And it seems like they've nailed that narrative from what we've seen in the trailers. And the world itself feels really cool and interesting. I'm really curious to see more of how they capture the feeling. Because for me, and it's going to be different for everybody, but the feeling of the game is definitely this, like, desolate landscape, but, like, doesn't necessarily feel desolate because of the music and the people you meet are so quirky and strange. It adds this, like, really weird layer on top of it. And they were definitely leaning into that when they, like, used I Don't Want to Set the World on Fire in that trailer really perfectly, which is, like, feels like such... Like, again, is that iconic Fallout music that pairs with the experience. So from that, it feels like they've nailed the vibes. Hopefully they have an interesting story to tell and are able to do that and have interesting characters. But I'm certainly feeling, like, excited to see, you know, how that story is going to play out in that world. And I'm excited to spend some more time talking about Fallout.
Yes, which, I mean, you might see more episodes of Fallout-centric things coming in the following month or two. So look out for that. I feel the exact same way, Ryan. I love the idea that they're taking these three main characters who have, again, we always talk about perspectives, right? Like, they offer such different perspectives and views on the similar world that they're living in based on kind of what's happening with them. So, like, I think Lucy's the main, one of the main characters, the vault dweller that leaves to go out into the world. And, I mean, her perspectives could be so different than the ghoul's perspective. Mm-hmm. And different from, I think the Brotherhood character's name is Maximus, I think. Mm-hmm. But all three will have such radically different perspectives, and interacting with each other is going to, I mean, kind of show how those perspectives are either similar or different, and it'll be really fun to kind of watch what happens with that. And just the vibe of the show just looks so good. It just feels Fallout, which I'm so happy about. I'm happy we live in a time where video game adaptations aren't needed per se, but at least when they are made, it seems that they are doing better to have better representation in terms of, like, the quality of the thing or how serious it's kind of seen, or the making sure it does a good job to correlate to what the games are and the magic that comes to them. Except for Uncharted. I don't want to say that for Uncharted. I wouldn't say it doesn't meet that standard for me, but whatever. That's just me.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if Tom Holland was not in that movie, people who like that movie, would they still like that movie? Yeah. But that's neither here nor there. Write in, let me know. I would love to know. I don't think Mark Wahlberg with a mustache is going to sell me that he's Sully, but that's just me.
We'll see what they can do, but it's going to be a hard sell, I think.
It's going to be hard.
Yeah.
And then we had an anonymous text message come through, and they asked us, how do you decide on what games to cover?
Oh, that's an interesting question.
We never talked about that, Ryan. I feel like you and I never really talked about where the motivations come for either of us.
Do you want me to go first? I'm happy to...
Yeah, sure, please, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's very different. Every story is a little bit different. We kind of have, at least in the past few years, a process where we sit down and try to plan out as much as we can far ahead as possible, just because life, I think, in an ideal world, we would have had a Helldivers episode come out this month, because like that would have helped us be most successful, like from a like be seen perspective. But you just can't plan for those things always necessarily, and the amount of time it takes to get an episode out, we can't like be as reactive in the moment, at least with those big stories, those games we cover. So it's really kind of what we're most excited about, what we think will be interesting, oftentimes what we hear from other people. Like, I know we've talked about in the past, people have asked about like Kirby episodes or Little Nightmares episodes. And I think like, as soon as we hear that, we put that on our list of things to work on. But just understanding that like we sometimes plan 6 months to a year out with our episodes, just because like life is so busy that like it might take... you know, these scripts are sometimes, you know, 30, 40 pages long. It might take us, you know, 6 months to write one of these scripts because time. So trying to make sure we can plan things out. But I think usually it's like what we're excited about, what we think will be a good story, and then what people have asked for. When we first started, it was just like, what are the best stories that we love? And I think like we still try to do that. But then sometimes it's like, what's the best story that we love that we can get done in a time that feels manageable to still put an episode out, right? Like it's that balance of those things. At least for me, I think that's how I think about it. What about you?
No, I feel I feel very similar to that. It's funny that you talk about like in the beginning, like what a solid 4 or 5 games that we chose that I really do feel like represents our taste in games. BioShock, sure. Borderlands, The Last of Us, and Portal. And how you know, we started this in COVID, so we had so much more time to dedicate to it. I remember just sitting for hours and just feeling very accomplished by writing this, writing scripts for these, and then but just how different things have changed. And 4 years from that and how little time we have now compared to what we did.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it's more so like, yeah, it's what are people interested in? Do I have a similar interest in that? Because I think interest holds a really strong place in writing scripts, because I think the more passionate you are about it, the more, the better the script will be, which is the better the recording will be.
Yeah.
Like I think Outlast is one of those episodes for me, at least, where like I'm so into the story of Outlast that when I wrote it, it just sounded so great in my mind that when we were acting it and doing the voices and telling the story, like I think it came out really good.
Yeah.
And also like, I'm curious how you think about this, Ryan, too, is like the idea that like when I write the script, I'm almost trying to, if it's a game that you haven't played, but I have, I'm like trying to convey this, like what is a fun way to kind of grip you with this story and make it exciting for you too, which is like, I think you did, I don't know if you did this intentionally or not when you wrote Soma and other scripts as well, but Soma is the one that sticks out in my mind right now, or Monkey Island too. Those scripts, I never played either game, but they got me so into the story with how you wrote them. You did such a great job writing them that I was just in it. Like I was like almost happy I never played them to just experience it in this way.
Yeah.
And it got me really excited. So, but yeah, anyway, I'm going off on a tangent. I guess excitement, nostalgia plays a huge role. This is one some scripts I'm working on right now where it's very nostalgia based games that make me excited to cover. It's kind of like a mixed bag of how we decide to cover games, whatever sounds good. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. And it changes over time. It changes over the year. It changes over the week sometimes, or the month, depending on if like one script is taking a really long time, we kind of will, all right, well, let's like shift things around. It's a lot of moving parts to try to make sure we're covering everything we want to cover in a way that also respects our time and your guys' time. Definitely a tricky balance, but a fun one.
Yeah. Yes, for sure. And just a quick shout out too, because we have the most engagement on Spotify that we've ever had, the most people following us at this point right now, which is just so exciting. And it just continues to go up, which is like really, it's really cool. It's not like the goal. We're not trying to have like the most people. It's the fact that people are finding the stories compelling and the podcast fun. And that's, I think, what makes, I'm not going to speak for you, Ryan, but it makes us happy.
Yeah.
How fun this is. So very cool. I mean, just a big shout out to everyone who listens. Thank you so much for spending your time with us. It's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. And this was not planned. I swear this was not planned. I'm just going to overlook. I'm going to just say it really fast and move on because this feels a little dirty. We have a Patreon if you want to subscribe to it. It's only $1. Not planned. We have things to offer if you want to look at those up. If you feel... Again, I should have waited to do these. You want to rate us on rate us on Spotify or Apple or wherever you're listening. That'd be fantastic for us as well. Answer some of the questions if you feel like it. They're fun. And we'll read those on a future episode. But anyway... Moving on, we're 23 minutes in. Let's get to the main topic of today's story. It's a DLC episode, which means it's going to be a fun one.
Yep.
It's going to be a good time. Ryan, do you want to do the honors of introducing the theme or the topic for this character wheel?
I would love to. So as you said, Eric, we're doing a character wheel. And it is spring, so oftentimes we try to make these character wheels themed to the time of year, just because it helps making choices easier when we have like some type of theming or framing. And so we decided, with some help from partners, to do a egg hunt, the character wheel on egg hunts. Who would be the most successful at finding eggs, Easter eggs, I would assume, but it could be any kind of eggs, depending on the situation.
I guess.
Most successfully. So with this, the structure will be the same as all these other characters we've done. We'll spin a wheel. We'll pick a couple characters. We'll have them go against each other in this topic. We'll have a big finale at the end. And for like the framing of this situation, because oftentimes with egg hunts, you're not by yourself, right? You're not racing yourself.
Right.
You're racing another person. So really it's at least two folks we spin up. Who would be the best at finding eggs? Who's going to find the most? How would they use their power skill set? Are they even interested? Would they care about this? And how would they, you know, maybe in some ways impede their other contestants without like harming them or murdering them?
There's no death.
Yeah, just a nice, good, clean egg hunt.
We don't kill our brothers and sisters and cousins when we go to do egg hunts. So neither will these characters. I mean, I'm not, and I will say for our international listeners too, outside the US, I'm not sure how celebrated Easter is. But yeah, I mean, I mean, I don't get it. But when, you know, when I was young and when my family celebrated Easter, I kind of pictured those plastic eggs filled mm-hmm. with yeah. random candy, yeah. and you hide them all over your grandparents outside your grandparents' house, and then you unleash the cousins or the siblings to go find the eggs, and that's what I'm kind of picturing for this, I think. That's kind of the vibe I think we're picturing. You know, picture like, you know, Sub-Zero and Sonic the Hedgehog, you know, stand next to each other, and then someone says go, and they go hunt eggs. You know what I mean? Like, who would do the best?
Yeah.
To find the ultimate egg hunter. I feel like Sonic would win that one, but that's not one of the ones. That's not one of the ones.
Well, so. We'll see. It might
be. Oh, that'd be so cool. No one would ever believe us, though. They would think that was so rigged.
Yeah. Make it a quick and easy decision to go through.
For sure. Well, then, oh, but you know what? Then Sub-Zero would freeze Sonic's feet.
Yeah.
If he could hit him. And yeah. then, oh, but then Sonic's in trouble. Yeah. Oh, that's a good one. Oh, I was spun the wheel twice and it's Sub-Zero and Sonic. Whoa.
Wow,
that's so wild. All right, I'm going to spin the wheel now. But no, I think this would be a good one. I think this would be fun. Even for people who don't celebrate Easter and think, that, you know, and this is kind of wild, I think this would be a good time to talk about it. So our first character is Batman from the Arkham series. And then I'm spinning it again. The wheel's spinning. You're hearing the cool sound effects, as I always talk about, because I feel anxious with the dead space, the dead air when it spins. The next one is Abe from Oddworld. For those who listen to our Oddworld episode, you'll totally know all of Abe's stuff, which... I forgot, but I don't think it's much. I think, you know, for I'll kind of jump right in, Ryan.
Is that okay? Yeah, please get in there.
For Abe doesn't really have a whole lot to his arsenal besides finding others of his kind to set them free. Though I'm not sure if that's would you count that as being fair for an Easter egg hunt? Could Abe encourage his fellow species to follow and find eggs at the same time?
Yeah, I don't. Unless Abe like has the ability to they couldn't walk out on the field with them. But if he had the ability to like pull them out of him, I'd say that would be okay. Which I don't think he does.
Terrifying.
Absolutely terrifying. Yeah, but I don't necessarily. I think like the fact that there's like a lot of you is in the same way does Batman have his sidekicks in the Arkham series? He doesn't, does he?
He technically, yeah, but you don't ever like use them like that, I don't think.
Right.
Like, they're there, but he doesn't. He's enough.
He's you know enough. What I mean? That's right. Yeah, for these things. So I'd say probably not. Unless, I'd say so too. Yeah. Abe does have some powers. I don't remember them.
We gotta look them up then.
Abe does, have some powers of like can maybe do some like psychic stuff or something. Is that right?
Oh, we gotta know. You are right. Let's look it up. All right, we're going to the Oddworld Wiki.
Yep.
Let's see, find out.
What are Abe's powers and abilities? Here we go.
Here. Ryan, keep filling the dead space as I'm frantically reading. I typed in Abe Oddworld powers, and I'm not getting a whole lot.
Okay, none. None, unfortunately, is the answer. No power abilities.
Here we go. I'm trying to see.
Yeah, because Abe can take control of other people's bodies, right?
What? Oh, can he? No, is he, so...
Yeah, like in a... Hold on, where is it? In Oddworld... New and Tasty. During his escape, Abe discovers his inherent ability to possess other beings and take full control of their bodies. Using this new power to his advantage, Abe is able to free himself from Rutger Farms.
Okay. Well, that changes a lot, actually. I'm actually really happy that you looked that up, Ryan. Changes things a little bit.
I don't know if he has any other powers. He gets invisibility at some point. Okay, we'll just do Abe's Odyssey. So then he might not have those powers yet at that point. That's fair because I think otherwise
he can use throwable objects such as meat, rocks, or grenades to bypass enemies or destroy obstacles, though grenades have a timer and will blast Abe into pieces if the throw button is held too long.
Okay.
Abe has the ability to telepathically control Sligs, a type of enemy non-player character, but can only use this in safe areas. In most areas, flying orbs, known as chant suppressors, will stop Abe from using his telepathy by zapping him. Once Abe successfully possesses a Slig, he can control their movements to attack other enemies, use game speak that can only be used by Sligs, activate mechanisms too dangerous for Abe, and destroy the Slig when he no longer needs it. Abe's body is immobile, invulnerable while possessing another character, and if his host is killed, control will return to Abe.
Okay, so he can only control these things that may not be here while he's doing the egg hunt.
I'm picturing just a normal human, like, forest with eggs in it. You know what I mean?
For
like
sure. Grandparents' house. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. It says, he can only shoot with the Sligs, it sounds like.
So if he doesn't have any...
Or he throws grenades and stuff.
Yeah, if he doesn't have any Sligs, then he's going to be in trouble here.
Oh, late in the... Okay, wait, hold up. Late in the game, Abe gains the ability to transform into a demigod called Shrukul, which can eviscerate all on-screen enemies. Abe can gain a limited number of transportation uses. Jeez Louise. After rescuing enough Madokans at the same time.
Okay.
Okay, so what I'm hearing is this. You tell me what you think, Ryan. What I'm hearing is this. He can only control one species that is likely not in the playing field of this. Yeah. And if he turns into this demigod, he will likely eviscerate all the eggs around him, including Batman.
Be disqualified. He would then,
he would be disqualified because he has no eggs.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Batman.
Batman, on the other hand. Yeah. Okay.
I mean, I feel like Batman's just going to be able to click a button. He'll see, you know, like, he'll be like, Oracle, highlight all the eggs in the vicinity. And, like, Oracle's like, got it! And then, you know, she's typing away on the computer, and then all the eggs are highlighted on his little, like, his eye screen thing.
Yeah.
And he just find them, because he's a ninja.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like, a detective. He would kind of know where all the hiding spots are just by looking around.
Right, exactly. And he, like, you spend a good chunk of that game just walking around finding hidden things, right? Like that.
Yeah,
like
the Riddler. I just said the Riddler.
The Riddler.
The Riddler has a lot of Riz. The Riddler. The new Batman enemy that we need.
Yeah.
The next Pattinson Batman is the Riddler. Now we have the Riddler.
It's very good.
He lives really, really cool and sexy clues.
Exactly.
For Batman to find. I mean, all right, we kind of shot ourselves in the foot picking Abe here, but you know what? This has always been a fire truck on fire kind of podcast episode
for
with the character wheel.
Yeah.
I just don't see a world where Batman would never kill Abe, but I mean, I just don't see how Batman can lose. Like, he could easily highlight where those eggs are. He has gadget. He would just use his grapple gun to just grab the eggs around him as he's running around.
Yeah.
I just don't see... He'd probably freeze Abe's feet to the ground somehow with some kind of Dr. Freeze thing that he's picked up along the way.
Yeah.
I just don't see how Batman loses.
I think Batman is going to be like... this is the first round. Batman is going to be the person to beat, I think, in this entire thing. Because Batman is like specifically good at finding things and clues and finding things out. And this is like totally Batman stuff. Like,
yes.
In his wheelhouse for sure.
Like, even if... follow me here. Like,
yeah.
I don't know if Abe can control things for a limited amount of time, but say he does control Batman, right? Yeah. Here's a philosophical question for you. Uh-huh. I don't know, philosophical is the right word. Say he controls Batman and Batman picks up all the eggs. Does Batman then win because he got all the eggs?
Yeah, I mean, I think Abe would have to be smart enough to take control of Batman and cause him to just, like, walk in a circle, I guess, or like walk far enough away so that Abe can go grab an egg, and then when Batman gets back, he like sends him away again or something.
But you know, the basket Batman had was already rigged with some kind of like explosive that he had set up to, like, because he has always has a contingency plan on how to win.
Yeah, exactly.
I just don't see how Batman would lose.
Yeah, I think this, I don't even think we need to do a countdown. I think like Batman, I think, is clearly, and we could still do a countdown if you'd like, Eric, but I think this one's going to be a hard competition there.
I think a countdown maybe isn't needed this round. I think we both agree that it's just Batman.
Yeah, like, just Batman. Yeah. You live by the wheel, you die by the wheel. Sometimes you get good matchups, sometimes you get Abe versus Batman. And that's just how it goes.
Yeah, this is how it goes. I feel bad for Abe.
Abe will have, you know, one day we'll do like a who can gather the most legs, and then that'll be Abe's day.
When we run out of all other options, we can only think of who can control slings, and then we don't get Abe the whole episode.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, first round goes to Batman.
Eric, someday we should do like a battle of the losers and go back and pick everyone who lost every character wheel.
Oh my God.
And pick some type of, you know, gauntlet for them to overcome.
Yes.
Just to get redemption for all these characters someday.
Oh my God, I love that idea. That would be such a great idea.
Yeah.
Wow, that'd be so great. We totally should. I don't know what the prompt would be. It'd have to be something really funny, like building a card house. Like,
yeah,
it'd be something stupid like that, I think, to really be cool. Yeah. Or like a Mortal Kombat style.
Return a library book.
Oh, that's such a good one. Oh my God, that is such a good one.
Yeah.
Wow, we got to write that down. That's genius, Ryan. That was a really good episode.
Find somewhere to write that down.
We can't, Ryan, give away our ideas. Other podcasts who cover things like this will take it.
Yeah, all the other character wheel podcasts are going to take our stuff.
Everyone does character wheels now. Everyone. Yeah,
everyone.
That's not true. Hopefully for good reason, but likely not. All right, spin the wheel again. All right, so as you know, Batman won the first round.
Yeah.
I think, Ryan, you're right. He's the one to beat. I think he's going to be hard to beat. We almost had Solid Snake, which would have been so cool. But instead, Ryan, the first character is Donkey Kong.
Okay.
Which could be interesting. I wish it was Solid Snake, though. That would have been really cool. That
would have been even better.
I like to show that we have integrity here, though, Ryan, by being honest. We could have picked whatever one we wanted to. But
no one would know.
We spin the wheel. We live by the wheel, die by the wheel.
Yep.
And next we have Agent 47. From the Hitman series. Now, we said no killing. So the thing is, I've not played a whole lot of Hitman. The question is, Ryan, does Hitman have any weapons that doesn't kill? Does he have any rubber bullets?
Eric, he doesn't need rubber bullets. You have not seen clips of Hitman throwing, like, a fish at a person. He can throw everything and anything, and it tracks, and it knocks them right out.
That kill them, though, or does it knock them out?
It knocks them unconscious.
It knocks them unconscious?
Because
Hitman?
I've never played. I've watched quite a bit of Hitman because they're pretty fun to watch. And
they are fun.
I'm not great at stealth games. I don't have the patience for it usually. Like sit and wait and to like plan all of this stuff out. You would probably love Hitman, to be honest.
I think I would. I've never got to him, but yeah, Hitman. I probably would love it.
But there's like so much of like you get different points if you kill people versus just knocking people out. And yeah, Hitman, he can like everything is at his disposal. He can throw anything and it like
he's just
tracks
taking the basket.
Down. Yeah.
Taking the egg basket, he just chucks it at Donkey Kong and knocks Donkey Kong out.
Exactly.
But then is he charged with animal abuse? You can't do that.
Maybe.
But he also kills people and gets away with it. So I feel like animal abuse is probably not the biggest deal for him.
Okay, that adds a little wrinkle to our thing here. No harming other contestants. Is that no harming at all, or no harming if you are aware that they were harmed?
Ooh.
Right? Because what if there's a world in which Hitman like puts on a Donkey Kong costume and goes and starts like punching people and beating people up, right? Then Donkey Kong's disqualified.
I see it. You know what? Here's what I see, Ryan. I think Agent 47 is very smart from what I understand of Hitman. I think Agent 47 puts on a Diddy Kong costume and pretends to be Diddy Kong, helping Donkey Kong pick up eggs, and then takes those at the end and wins.
Here, let me go help you. Here, I'll carry the basket.
Yep.
You, and then we... that would be very good.
Yep.
Yeah.
I don't think Donkey Kong would be particularly amazing at finding eggs. I think he would be very... normal, if not great at it, because he's such a big beefy boy walking through a forest or walking through like a, you know, kind of like the your grandparents' house to find the eggs. I think would be a difficult thing. Side note: I'm terrified I'm saying eggs weird. Sometimes I do say it weird, and you know you could say it in multiple ways. I just had this intrusive thought. The intrusive thought was you say eggs weird, and everyone's gonna know it because you're recording this for people to listen to. Ryan, how do you say? I didn't say eggs.
Eggs? What do you mean? There's
you never heard this before.
No.
You say? Did some people say eggs like with the A or eggs or I don't know. If no one says eggs, but like, eggs. Like some people say it weird. I've been told I say it weird sometimes. I don't know. I don't understand.
Who said this to you?
My fiance. way.
Oh. Are you sure it's not some type of like psychological warfare that's happening to make you feel abusive bad relationship?
She doesn't beat me. She just tells me that I say eggs weird and makes me self conscious.
Exactly. Yeah. I don't know. I didn't know there was other ways to say eggs other than.
Sorry, that's just an intrusive thought. We can move on.
I think it's an incredible intrusive thought. I apologize that you're going through that, but I think that's a very silly and fun experience to us as a collective to share, for you as a person to share. Yeah.
Storygirls, write in if you think you say eggs weird. Let's collaborate. Let's talk about it.
Would it be like eggs?
Eggs? Like you say it with like an A. Eggs?
Eggs. 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 What other letter would you say it with?
Well, you know, like you're saying, like kind of like the it says eggs, uh-huh. Eggs, eggs, eggs,
eggs, and
you see
eggs.
That? Yeah. You see that? You hear that?
You're putting like extra focus on that. The eggs. End of the e.
Eggs. You know, people in like Texas say it like
maybe. Eggs.
No, I'm sorry. People in Texas don't listen to that. I'm not bashing you. I'm just trying to figure this out.
I mean, I think there's probably lots of ways to say lots of things, but everyone, language is fluid, man. It'll change. Someday we won't even say eggs anymore. I bet.
What will we say?
I don't know.
Eggs.
Eggs.
Eggs. back to this. I'm sorry. I went on a weird roller coaster ride. I think Donkey Kong would not be the best. Personally, I don't think so. Yeah. I think Big Beefy Boy, as Ryan just wrote down in our Google Doc, Big Beefy Boy, he's going to be scurrying, looking around for like Agent 47. I think he's almost like a Batman kind of character. Where like,
yeah.
He's going to kind of know where to hide because he does that a lot. Like he's going to know where Eggs could go. But I think he would wear the costume. And he might outsmart Donkey Kong, because Donkey Kong, I don't think Donkey Kong is technically a very smart character.
Yeah.
He literally just was in a game with Mario where he steals a bunch of toys, sets up a bunch of traps for Mario, and Mario just gets through them, you know. It looks pretty easy. I mean, I'm sure it's not that easy. I'm sure it gets harder, but I just don't think Donkey Kong is that smart to be able to really figure out where to find eggs. Though I don't think you need to have a super smart mind to find them. Donkey Kong just doesn't strike me as someone who's going to be really good at it.
Yeah. I mean, I think the only benefit Donkey Kong has is, like, knows his way around a forested area, right? Like...
Oh, true, true, true. It
maybe has existed in a place that has lots of trees and knows where you might hide something, but...
It's like tropical trees, you know? That's like...
Yeah, it is different. It is different, and I think it's a hard sell. I think, again, like, Agent 47 is just, like... What he is designed for is being sneaky and finding things and sneaking around. Like, there's a world in which Agent 47, like, dresses up as the judge and walks over and disqualifies Donkey Kong in the middle of the, you know what I mean? In the middle of the egg hunt, right? There's just so much, like, brain power and trickiness that can be at play here to just really take Donkey Kong out before they even have a chance to participate.
Yeah, I'm so happy we have this. If Agent 47 does win this, Ryan, what a matchup between him and Batman. What a matchup.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, if that happens, we still need to determine. If that happens,
no way to know.
Yeah. No, here's the question on my mind, Ryan, if I may ask. Yeah. We're 45 minutes in the episode, but I'm going to drag this out a little bit more because I have a question that I think needs to... Now, is it Agent 47, when I understand, talks kind of like this, I'm Agent 47. Like, he sounds like very kind of like monotone-y. That wasn't a good impression.
Yeah.
Now, would he, in your mind... walk up and start talking to Donkey Kong like, I found the eggs. As like Diddy Kong in a Diddy Kong costume? Or is he going to be like, oot, oot, ot, ot. Like, you know, he's talking like a monkey.
Right, because he maybe doesn't Donkey understand. Kong. Yeah, I mean, it would depend on how much research Agent 47 has done ahead of time. I will say, like, for whatever reason, I don't know if this is just the lore of the Agent 47 world. No one seems to notice that his voice is always monotone and the same, no matter what, like, situation he's in. So I don't know if it's just because everyone in that world is silly goofballs or if there's, like, something else at play. But, yeah, I don't know if he would know, like, how to handle, like, a Diddy Kong situation or if, like, he would dress up as, like, a zookeeper, right? And that's, like, a total bad move, Mario. Right? Yeah, like, that's not gonna necessarily do it. Or, yeah, like, Mario. Like, that won't necessarily...
Ryan, I figured it out.
Okay.
He dresses up as Yoshi because you cover your face.
Yeah.
Or Birdo, so you can look at the big mouth hole and his face is covered. And he just says, Yoshi. And like, it's just like, oh, and then Donkey Kong's like, oh, he must be having a sore throat today. You know, kind of situation.
Yeah.
I don't think he has to be Diddy Kong necessarily. Mm. But I think, All right, I have my answer. I think the answer is clearly. Are we counting this down either?
I don't think we need to. I think we know here. I don't think
we need to.
Agent 47 is. Agent 47. He's got this on lock.
100%.
Wow.
I'm actually very happy we don't have Solid Snake in this one, because can you imagine Solid Snake versus Agent 47?
That would have been a much tougher conversation.
Very difficult. Very difficult. Yeah. Sorry, okay. Donkey Kong.
Sorry, Donkey Kong.
If it was a banana hunting contest, I would say he would probably win, because he knows his stuff.
He knows his stuff. He's good at tracking down those bananas. It's true.
He is. Last round. Round 3. Before the final round. Here we go. Wheel spun. It's stopping. And the next person is, by golly, it's Mario himself.
Wow.
Wow. The plumber. Someone who doesn't really find eggs. Oh, wait. No. Yeah, he finds Yoshi's eggs a lot. They're often kind of handed to him, I feel like. They're in a block already. You know what I mean? Like, he's not really finding them.
He's
abusive.
Right. He's going to be like bashing trees to try to find things. You know?
Yeah.
Which they might be.
I just want to say, I want to clarify, because he hits, if you've seen the animation when he rides Yoshi back in the 2D games, he hits Yoshi's head, which pushes Yoshi's tongue. Have you seen that before?
No, I believe
it's true. Anyway, the last character for the character wheel is Ezio Auditore from Assassin's Creed 2. I'm not joking.
Wowza.
What a time. What a time.
Just...
Man. Agent 47 and Ezio just like, I hope we can kill in this tournament and this competition. And they're like, no killing. And they're like, oh, he has to put his dual blades back in the back in a box. He can't use them right now.
This is absolutely insane, the polls we've had for this.
Yes. I know. I after we had started the episode saying that we wouldn't rig it, now it feels very rigged. I swear it's not rigged. I swear. All right. Ryan is doing a great job filling in the blanks. I'm going to read what your writing is. Okay, Ryan?
Yeah, please do.
And Mario is a plumber. And he's mean to Yoshi, as we talked about this already. Mm-hmm. All right. And Yoshi is a good thing. I don't know what Yoshi's gender. I'm not going to assume. Yoshi's just a good thing.
Yeah.
Ezio, master of disguise, master assassin. Very experienced. I think we should just do the whole, like, Ezio's time just being alive. Like, he's becomes this like really master assassin. Like, he's like the pinnacle of like assassins almost. Like, he's people's favorite, I think, in a lot of ways. A lot of experience hiding, a lot of experience finding things, finding people. Not so much. I mean, you could say he's a good egg hunter because he found the Apple of Eden, which is shaped like an egg.
Yeah, I mean, you could also say, I don't know if you remember in Assassin's Creed 2, there's a lot of flags and feathers he had to find, and it was miserable, and there was hundreds of them.
Yes.
And Ezio had to find all of them.
I forgot about that. Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. You're right. And Ezio's very patient. He trains a lot of other assassins to be assassins.
Yeah.
What a patient guy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Whereas I feel like Mario's go, 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 go. Guy can't stop running. He can't stop being, you know, involved in other people's messes. I mean, like, he's always saving somebody, which is great and all, but it's like, you know, teach someone to fish, you know, or get someone to fish.
Just give someone a fish. Come on, Mario.
Give him an egg. So, I mean, Ryan, in your mind, what are some things that Mario can do to be able to stand out and get eggs more efficiently? His thing about powers, right? Like, he could, I mean, I don't see the fire flower Mario doing very well. He'd just burn the forest down or burn everything around him down, including the eggs.
Yeah.
Tanuki Mario, I mean, he flies. I don't know if he can get like an aerial view of eggs. I'm not sure if that would work very well. There's the elephant Mario, which would just run through everything.
Yeah, I mean, do they have the powers like Mario Odyssey where they have the hat and can turn into like a bajillion other things, right? Like, I think what the benefit Mario has is, for the majority of the Mario's like played experience, you're just finding hidden things, right? You're finding stars, you're finding moons. You're finding, like, Mario's whole jam is finding hidden stuff to move forward to the next thing. I think there's going to be a skill set transfer there where Mario is used to searching for and finding hidden things in weird and different places. And I think that's going to be a big benefit to Mario. I don't think there's any like powers that are going to inherently help with that. I think it's just going to be Mario's lived experience of, what I do is find things. That's like what the majority of my experience is I'm like scouring a land for moons and stars and whatever else.
Yeah. You know, Ryan, I'm actually seeing this in a interesting light I'd like to share with you.
Yeah.
I picture these two, I think picture like a really open forest, right? It's your grandparents' house. They kind of live in like the woodsy area. You have eggs everywhere. I kind of see Ezio with all of his gear on, kind of like walking around. He's not like much of a, he runs, right? But like he's kind of taking his time with things. But I see him kind of like struggling, looking through bushes and looking in your grandma's flower garden. She's like, stay out of there. There's no eggs in there. You know, he's like getting in trouble. Like he's like looking for things. Whereas Mario's just like running. And he's just running. And he's kind of lightweight. He's just jumping and running and looking under things. He's kind of like sliding and flipping and like, he's kind of more nimble, I think, than Ezio in a sense. Like, comparatively. Where maybe he's finding eggs more efficiently because he's more able to run and search them. Whereas Ezio is more human in the idea that he's kind of bound by, you know, his like, he's not like Mario just jumping and flipping and doing all these things. He's more human in the idea that he's just kind of like weighed down by stuff and walking around, and he can't really flip and jump and run like Mario does.
Yeah, he's,
that makes sense.
I don't know. He's definitely more grounded in reality, in which like if you took like Mario and a regular person, Mario just can move faster and do things that person can't. And Ezio is just a regular person who has like a really good training set of skills, right? Doesn't have any like inherent ability other than like they are very good at what they do and have trained at it for a very long time. But this isn't that thing, necessarily. It's a Jason, right? Finding stuff and being sneaky. But I think, like, in the way that Agent 47 could outsmart Donkey Kong, that doesn't feel like Ezio's necessarily, like, his skill set would be outsmarting people. It would be certainly, like, being sneaky, and Ezio is, like, good at putting on disguises and sneaking around. But it's to, like, get close to somebody, not necessarily to, like, outsmart or, you know, find, or, you know, I mean, like, find things, right? Like, I don't know if that skill set will play in here as much as the others.
It feels different. It feels like Agent 47 and Ezio would be the same, but it does feel different. It doesn't feel like, it feels like Agent 47 can outsmart somebody, whereas Ezio isn't really necessarily outsmarting people. In a sense, he is, but not in the same way. He's outsmarting people to kind of help them kind of get to where he needs them to be to kill them.
Yeah.
And maybe you say the same for Agent 47, but, like, it's different because Agent 47 is wearing costumes and he's, you know, imitating, and I don't know, it's hard to explain.
No, it's definitely different. It's definitely a different, it's a similar but different skill set. The way they go about it is different. We're like, Ezio wants to get right up next to you so he can like stab you in the chest. Agent 47 doesn't care if he like poisons your bath that you'll take in 8 hours and then drives away, right? He like, it's just, he doesn't care as long as the job's done. And I will say the way Agent 47 like does kill people is usually more like elaborate than Ezio. I think there are some situations where Ezio will like disguise himself to get close to somebody, but it's never, you know, 4 or 5 different steps to make that happen. Other than like, again, you're moving things in the background to get somebody where you want them to be, versus Agent 47 goes to the place and then makes it work there. But neither of those skills are necessarily helpful in like finding eggs in a field, I would say.
It doesn't feel the same. I almost feel like Mario might have the upper hand because he just is more, I think you put it perfectly, Ryan. Mario is less bound in reality in the idea that he is more limber and fast and jumps in places, and whereas Ezio is more grounded, so he's kind of be like what you and I are doing. And I feel like I would have less of a upper hand than Mario would, you know?
I would say like Ezio for like, because of the ridiculousness of the Hitman games, I would say even Agent 47 feels less grounded in some ways than Ezio, in that like, Agent 47 does like really ridiculous, silly stuff, and Ezio just, that is just not who that character is.
Right. And I was saying, like, we were climbing trees to get all these eggs, that'd be one thing. Maybe Ezio would do really well with that. I mean, Mario, I think, also could do well with that, too, if he's flipping and jumping, or doing his triple jump, you know, kind of thing. But I just think Mario would have a better time. I just think he'd have a better time finding these things.
Yeah, I mean, I do think, like, there's a scenario in which, and again, this is going to push on the parameters of this egg hunt. There is a scenario in which, like, Ezio shows up early and hides somewhere and watches all the eggs get placed and then goes and finds them, right? Like, again, that would be using his skill set. But is that outside the realm of, you know, what is fair and what is possible? In this experience, is it just like, what is the skill that you can do in this exact moment, not necessarily how much you can prepare, which is also, whatever we decide here, is going to majorly hinder Batman in our next conversation, right? Because how much you can prepare is going to play into that in a huge way.
I took it as like they were just kind of dropped and told to go. They didn't have any time to prepare. It's kind of how I pictured it in the beginning.
Okay. Yeah, then I think you're right in that, like, without time to prepare and plan, I think Ezio might have a difficult time with this. I think he has a skill set of finding things and hunting things down, but is going to be limited and has his speed and ability to do it. Like, I mean, unless... Does Eagle Vision identify eggs?
Oh, I forgot about that. Here's how I figured it out. I don't remember this question. I don't remember the answer to this question. I mean, you might. Could you see feathers using Eagle Vision?
I don't know. Hold on.
Yeah, Google. Man, if that is the case, this changes everything. When traveling through Rome, Eagle Vision could be used to mark flags, feathers, or treasure chests on the map. While using Eagle Vision and roaming the area, I can't say that Italian name. Italians, you have really cool words and names for things. I'm not going to desecrate it. While roaming as Desmond, a red trail was visible that led from the fountain with the assassin's insignia to the door of Mario Auditore's study. So, like, could Ezio see
the path, whoever hid the eggs,
where everyone hid the eggs before?
Yeah, because that changes it. That levels that playing field, right? Like, Mario is faster, but Ezio knows exactly where to go to find these things, right?
Oh, wow. If that is the case.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. I'm kind of trying to conceptualize all this. Never thought about that. That's a great way of looking at it. I bet someone's been screaming at their phone for the last 10 minutes as we've been talking about this. Wow. I guess, yeah.
Because I know, like, in the newer games, chests and stuff like that light up. But again, I don't know if in Assassin's Creed 2, Brotherhood, and Revelations, if those collectibles light up, for sure. If they don't light up, but he's able to track the path of whoever hid those things, then again you have that bonus of, like, which is more important, being fast or knowing exactly where to go for these things,
right? I mean, I feel like if you know where to go, it makes you more efficient and less time wasted than just running everywhere and looking. I have to take back what I said. I feel like Eagle Vision, Ryan, I'm happy you had that perspective, because, or you had that thought, because Eagle Vision changes it. It changes it. If you know where to, that's kind of the biggest thing with Ezio, is that he didn't know where to go, so he's kind of more bound to the realistic laws of having to get low and look around, and while Mario's just running and sliding and jumping, and he just doesn't stop. But if Ezio knows where to go, if he sees the trail left by the person leaving all the eggs, then it's easy.
Yeah.
Wow. Mario doesn't have anything like that, right? Mario can't, like, see anything like
that? Does Mario have a way to sense collectibles in the game, right? Like, there might be some type of, does he get an ability to, like, find them or to, like, ping them?
I don't think so.
Or anything like that in any of the Odyssey or Galaxy?
The only thing I see him doing is having his Odyssey hat, and he throws it on Ezio and takes Ezio over and then uses Eagle.
Yeah.
Can he even use Eagle Vision? You know what I mean? Does he know how to do that? You know what I mean?
Right. Does he have that ability, or does that just make him sneakier?
I feel like I have my answer. Do you have your answer?
Yeah, I think so.
Do we have to do a countdown for this one either?
I don't think we do. Let's do it.
Okay, we'll do one.
We'll do one. Okay, right.
Okay. Three, two, one. Ezio.
Yeah.
With the Eagle Vision. Yeah, it has to.
With the Eagle Vision.
If it wasn't for that, I was going to say Mario. For sure.
I was... until I thought of that, I was like, oh, this is Mario's got this one. But totally forgot the one superpower that Ezio and Desmond have is they can, like, see through walls.
Yeah. Yep.
Oh man, what a wild!
This would be the hardest one we've ever done.
Yeah, for sure.
So we have, for our finals, the final three contestants, the three we have to pick from as the number one egg finder, is Batman from the Arkham series, Agent 47 from the Hitman series, and Ezio from Assassin's Creed.
What a wild... These three folks all in the same place is such an insane combination of people.
Can you imagine? It's intense.
It'd be so intense, yeah. It would be so intense. I think it's going to be really interesting to see how we decide, like, because all three of these folks have really incredible skill sets at all of these things. Ezio doesn't have somebody talking in his ear in the same way I think Agent 47 and Batman do.
Right.
Right. Like, they don't have that eye in the sky type situation. But, yeah, wow, what a matchup.
I'm going to have to start throwing some thoughts out there, if that's okay.
Yeah, that's great.
Some kind of, like, ways that people don't really do as well compared to others, if that's cool. Yeah. I think that if Ezio has eagle vision, I would find it really hard-pressed to not envision a world where Batman... we're basing this on Arkham, though, so maybe I shouldn't say that. But I would imagine Batman would have something that would also sense, like, heat where people had walked and could see a path where people had left eggs as well.
Yeah.
But I don't remember. What does Batman's... All right, we're doing some... Man, if only we could do this as a job forever, because, like, we would know this better. I just want to know what his abilities
skill set is, like, and I think, to be fair, like, you should do similar to what we did for Ezio at the end of the Arkham series. What is at his disposal, and the same way we did Ezio at the end of Revelation, what is at their disposal, right?
Yes, for sure. I feel like, I'm trying to look up the upgrades. Let's see what they are. Try to see the eyesight thing that Batman had, because he can see through walls. Oh, he can see through walls and stuff. Remember that? Detective vision. That's what it was.
Yeah, he has a detective vision. Yeah. Does that allow him to see collectibles and stuff as well? Because I know it lets you see enemies and their paths and stuff, right?
Right. Which makes me wonder if he could see the path of where people dropped eggs.
Or the path that Ezio is traveling, right? Or is going...
Or the path that Ezio is traveling, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that isn't helpful if, like, you're getting there after the eggs, but maybe you could, you know...
Oh, here you go, Ryan. All right, this is off the Batman Arkham Wiki. Here it goes. Detective Mode, formerly known as Detective Vision, is one of Batman's most useful gadgets, as it allows him to see people through walls and detect usable and useful objects in the environment.
Wow.
Each playable character can use this mode. Okay. Yes. So Batman could use Detective Mode and hypothetically see through the bushes and see through these things and highlight the eggs.
Okay, so both Ezio and Batman know where all these eggs are right away, without even looking.
Yes,
They ping, they know where everything is.
Everything.
So first we need to figure out, like, does Agent 47 have a chance, and if so, what? And then if not, like, what is the difference between Batman and Ezio and their ability to get around to these things? At the end of their, you know, at the end of Arkham, at the end of Revelations. So I think maybe we knock out the 47 thing first, if that's okay with you. Does he have any chance here? And if so, what it is? And then we can kind of resolve the other two.
Here's my thought. Here's what I'm picturing. Agent 47, Batman's looking for the eggs. He's kind of collecting eggs. And then Agent 47's walking up as Robin. He goes, I'm Robin. And then Batman goes, no, you're not. And then, like, you know what I mean? Like, he just immediately knows that Agent 47 isn't Robin. And then Agent 47 leaves. And then he puts on another costume. And he walks up to Ezio as... And I don't know. I don't know what he walks up to as. He walks up as Leonardo da Vinci. I'm Leonardo da Vinci. And Ezio goes, no, you're not. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I just don't.
Go ahead. I don't think he tricks these folks. I think his only way out is somehow tricking either the people judging it or the person who hit it. I mean, I think he would have to. There have to be a different angle he would go at. I don't know what that angle is.
Yeah.
But I don't think he's going to trick Batman or Ezio.
I think if he was a judge, because I think, I don't know about Ezio, but I almost feel like Batman, when he has his detective mode on, he could see, like, the background information on people, like their names, their info. I feel like that's a thing that happens in the game.
That sounds right to me. I know Ezio could see, like, the color of them to let them know if they're an ally NPC or an enemy. So Ezio would just, like, eagle vision, be like, no, I see that you're red. There's something going on here. Yeah, exactly.
And I feel like Batman would see something too, or know, like, something's wrong. So even if Agent 47's like, I'm the judge, let me see the eggs to judge it, and then try to take them, I think they would still know that that's not a person they can trust.
Got it. Okay.
So that's how I kind of see it.
Yeah, I think I agree. I think, so then do we want to say, does Agent 47 have any chance outsmarting these two folks?
I don't think so.
Okay, then I think that answers it.
Batman is so smart, and Ezio, maybe Ezio, but I don't think with his eagle vision, it would allow him to be over, as I think his eagle vision would tell him that this is my enemy right now, not my ally.
Yeah. Okay. That makes sense. That tracks. Okay. So we need to figure out. Agent 47's gone. Agent 47's out. Agent 47 would be, I think, like, would be very good at a lot of things. I don't think a competition where there's, like, no room for trickery, he's going to be successful, because that's going to take out his skill set, I think. I'd love to hear other people have to say who've, like, really dived into these games. I think that would be, I'd love to hear more, but that's, I think I'm in the same boat.
Yeah, I think so, too.
So now we have to decide, Batman knows where all the eggs are. Ezio knows where all the eggs are.
Yeah.
Who is faster and who collects more of these eggs?
They both have, like, not similar physiques. I think Batman's a little too bulky for a normal human being. But they're both going to be, like, running, I imagine, roughly at the same speed. Same human, you know, realistic human running speeds.
Yeah.
It really is about who's going to collect these faster. Ezio can see the path. Okay, so here's my thought. Ezio can see the path, and maybe the items glow hidden in kind of glowing, useful items, whereas Batman can maybe see the path as well, but see useful items lit up from his detective vision.
Yeah.
So are we more confident in the ability that Ezio can see the path where the eggs are dropped and kind of go from there? Or Batman seeing the eggs?
I think we just have to decide if Ezio can see these eggs. Because if Batman sees the eggs and Ezio can't, game over. If Ezio can see where these eggs are and Batman can see where these eggs are, I think that's the only way it's balanced. Otherwise, I think Batman wins. Because I think seeing the path isn't going to let you beat somebody who can see the eggs. Because they're going to be behind, right? They're going to be still a step behind. So I think we have to figure out, can Ezio see these eggs? If so, then it's a different, then it's a level playing ground. We have to, you know, hash it out from there. If Ezio cannot see these eggs, then I think he doesn't stand a chance.
I'm trying to do some research right now.
No matter how, like, big and bulky Batman is, and know how, like, Ezio doesn't necessarily need to, like, hide his identity and keep himself covered, right? He can just wander around and grab these things without having this big bulky suit on, right? Whereas Batman would need to have that. But I think if Batman knows where they are, I don't think there's any chance that Ezio can beat him in a race of that.
I don't either. And I think I'm watching videos right now as we're talking. And of course, no one's using Eagle Vision because they just know where the feathers are and they're trying to show people where they are. Which is not helpful. I think that really needs to tell us if the feathers glow, if they light up when you're using Eagle Vision, then that changes it. That really, like,
I mean, it sounds like it can appear on your map.
Yeah.
With Eagle Vision, but I don't know.
I cannot find this answer to save ourselves. Without using walkthroughs, for the feathers, yes. You need to wander around until you find them. For the glyphs, check out the encyclopedia, the locations with an eye. Okay, no. Oh, as others have said, and you probably know, using Eagle Vision is easier to spot feathers and mandatory to activate glyphs.
Okay.
It's much easier to find glyphs on the buildings and the feathers if you use your Eagle Vision. So it sounds like it is the case where Eagle Vision is useful. But nothing, I'm seeing no images of feathers in Eagle Vision.
Because you can see through a smoke screen with it. You can see something through a smoke screen.
Oh, they also have the ability, I mean, Ezio doesn't have the, did Ezio have the ability to use an eagle to search things below him? I don't think he did.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah.
I think after that is when they started that.
Okay.
White indicates sources of information or hiding spots. Gold indicates the target object of interest. However, Desmond Miles. An individual masters, they can even evolve more advanced eagle sense. This stage heightens all sense of its users, allowing them to detect the heartbeat of a target in the area, even force the target's path. Some individuals have developed exact variations of the gift, an application allowing the wielder to peer into the memories of their target upon killing them. Oh, okay. While others led this gift, users become a kind of lie detector, knowing someone is lying or telling the truth. Very much like Altair, possess Eagle Vision. I use it in passages, predict intentionally allies. Additionally, you'll be able to see map see the map hidden beneath the pages of the codex. So I was never supposed to see Eagle Vision. Got an assassin thing, just knew about his gift. That's nothing. Eagle Sense. Mastering Eagle Vision, led them to grant Eagle Sense. A more heightened version allowed one to focus target on intuitively approximate where they had gone, or inversely where they would go. That's wild. Even so far as to be able to sense the presence of stalkers when they would strike. It's particularly helpful in tailing a target. With Eagle Sense, Ezio was able to pick up cold trails, locate disguised enemies. However, the latter, he was required to concentrate harder and scrutinize people individually out of a cloud. Ezio once used his Eagle Sense to follow the scent vapors of Datura and to diagnose injured mercenary by listening to his heartbeat. Wowza. As such, the latex allowed him to conclude that a man was alive but weak and affected by some form of poison. So he could, like, tell us how alive or dead somebody was.
Jeez.
Even could be used to mark. Yeah, it sounds like you can mark flags and feathers on the map. So if you, like, used Eagle Vision in an area, it wouldn't necessarily, I don't know this for sure, but it would, like, appear on your map, even if you didn't explicitly see it. But I don't know if that map is, like, is that map in gameplay context an internal, like, map that Ezio has in his mind, or is that, like, a separate gameplay mechanic for the player?
Yeah. Man, this is hard. This is a really hard question. usually it's very easy to know who would probably win. I guess
what we can either, we know they show up on the map. When he activates the Eagle Vision and he's near one of them, they show up on his map. Whether that appears, like, in front of him or not, we don't know.
Is it his map or our map? You know what I mean? Like,
right. Well, that's what we're not sure about. Like, what right. What is that map? That map in the context of the game, what does that mean for Ezio? If it shows up on the map, is that something then Ezio knows, or is that something that just we know? Right? And how much of that information is you know. I guess we might need to just make a ruling and then just play it out as is.
It says, while traveling through Rome, Eagle Vision could be used to mark flags, feathers, or treasure chests on the maps. So here's what I'm hearing, Ryan.
Yeah.
Into what you think too. He turns Eagle Vision on. He's looking around. He's not necessarily knowing where they are, but he's kind of understanding what direction to go to get to them. Like, he's not seeing it, but he has, like, this sense that he can kind of know where to go.
Yeah.
Because it's on his map, but he kind of knows what direction to go to, but he hasn't, like, found it necessarily.
Yeah, it doesn't show him exactly where it is, but it shows him, like, maybe the direction, or if you go in, like, 3 meters in that way, they'll be over there somewhere.
Yeah. Okay. Do you want to call it, like, do we call that?
Yeah, that feels fine. I mean, yeah. I think that brings it closer, but it doesn't bring it close enough, I guess, is what we need to decide. Is that close the gap enough to where Batman knows exactly where these things are, in theory, right?
Yeah. Like, well, so I think if I Google, Batman, Arkham, Detective Vision, Riddler puzzles, and it lights up.
Yeah. I mean, I think Batman wins if that's the case. The only chance Ezio has is if he is able to use his Eagle Vision to know where Batman's going and beat him there.
Right.
If that power is strong enough.
Like, I think you're right. I think you just need to see, can you find the trophies with the Detective Vision? It's got so hard.
I mean, you can see, like, in this, you can see, like, a destructible surface, and then behind it there's, like, this glowing yellow data pack.
Okay, so you can kind of see the things that are behind.
Yeah, he can see, like, through things to then grab the data pack. Like, he can see that there's a blue wall with it that's destructible, and then beyond that blue wall you see, like, a yellow box.
Okay. Okay. I mean, I feel like that kind of says everything then a little bit there.
I think knowing the general location is going to be helpful, but I don't know if it's going to make you... I think you might be faster if you know exactly where it is. Which Batman would be able to do. So, like, then the only, like, is there a world in which Ezio can move faster than Batman, I guess, is the only other, which I don't know if that's the case.
I don't know if that's the case either. I would guess if I had to make a choice, I would say they're both roughly the same speed. If not, Batman's probably faster because he's an Olympic
level. And he has person. Like he has his like his hookshot thing, right? Where like Ezio doesn't have something like that to like quickly move. Like Batman sees a tree, launches onto that tree, and flies across the field to, you know, go to that tree. And then I don't know if Ezio can move that fast.
Yeah, yeah. No, I think. Yeah, and you can either just grapple the eggs. He knows where they are. He'll just use his grapple gun and grab the eggs from that.
Yeah, true.
Yeah. All right. I mean, I don't know about you, Ryan, but I feel content with our answer. We put so much effort into
this. We did a lot of work on this, and I think like what a wild matchup of folks.
Yeah.
Of characters here, and I think like. I love that they're on an egg hunt together. I think that's very fun.
Batman's bored. He really must use his detective skills to try to do something and gets invited to an Easter egg competition with two murderers.
Well, apparently they all have a target here. So they're all here find a target who came to this egg hunt, and only the winner gets to get close to the target.
There you go.
That's why they're all here.
I think without further ado, I think Batman our winner.
I think Batman's our winner. Wowza.
But storygoers, we want to hear your thoughts, feelings, and perspectives. Who do you think should have won? Is it one of the other contestants we knocked out early on? Should it have been Abe or Donkey Kong or Mario? Or is Agent 47 or Ezio the ones that should have won? And Batman says eggs are, you know, pronounces them as eggs, you know what I mean? Maybe he does that. We don't know. Let us know your thoughts, feelings, and perspectives by sending us at them at talesofthecartridge@gmail.com. All the E's are threes. You can also find us on our social media, leave a voicemail or text at 207-494-4334, or answer our Spotify poll question down below. The majority of you use Spotify, so you can probably just scroll down and see that question down there. Let us know what you think. Send us in your thoughts, and we'll read all, or the majority, or hopefully most of those on the next episode. Thank you for everybody that's been engaging with us. That's super kind of you. I know it's not easy to kind of go outside of your comfort zone or take the time to want to send something, but it is really fun, and we'd be happy to kind of share more of those and get your thoughts out there. And I think there's no bad questions, no wrong answers, as long as they're, you know, of course, pertaining to what's being asked. That helps a lot. So anyway, that was fun. That was way harder than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, for sure.
That was good. But everyone, good luck. If you're finding any eggs this holiday season for Easter, good luck finding them. Be like Batman.
Yeah.
Is kind of like the moral of the story this time around. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we'll see you all in the next episode.
Bye.
Bye. Ryan, how do you say? I didn't say eggs.
Eggs? What do you mean? Who said this to you?
My fiance.
Just give someone a fish.
Just give someone a fish.